I'd like to share a little thing I was looking at for the last couple of weeks about how glorious and wonderful God's salvation program is. And we can't really understand it until God opened our spiritual eyes to it. You see, many people don't like the salvation of God. They are offended at it. Just like how when Christ was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees and he would start to bring the gospel, they take offense to the gospel. And many do the same thing today because they don't understand. God has not given them eyes to see and ears to hear and to understand the gospel. You know, God is the one who designed the gospel, and it's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful salvation that God has given to us through Christ. God, as we know in this time that we're celebrating Christmas, God, in the person of Christ, so humbled himself and came and demonstrated what he did for us from the foundation of the world. It is a wonderful salvation program. And all this is going to bring glory to God. All this is working out to the praise and glory of God. And so when he saves anyone of us, it's not because we are worthy of it or we are deserving of salvation. He saved us to the praise of his glory for his great name's sake. Remember, I read in Ezekiel chapter 36. That's a very familiar chapter in the Bible. In Ezekiel 36, how God lay out what salvation is and what he gets the glory for saving any one of us. And one of the things he tells us in Ezekiel 36 is why he saved any one of us. It's for his own glory. It's to glorify him, why he saved a people for himself. Look at verse 20 of Ezekiel 36. And when they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to me, these are the people of Jehovah, and are gone forth out of his hand. But I had pity from my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am Jehovah, saith the Lord God, when I shall sanctify you before my eyes. And God goes on to tell us that he's the one who saves someone. We can't save ourselves. God, and you read verse 24 all the way down, God tells us he will give us a new heart. He sprinkled clean water upon you, and he give us his Holy Spirit. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. You see, and you see when God opened your eyes and you begin to see how wonderful his salvation program is, you can't help but wonder, why would he save me if you're saved? Can we give any reason why he should save anybody? When all of us are deserving of the same punishment, we're all sinners, you know. We deserve to be destroyed forever. And lots of time I wonder why God would save anybody. We know, we begin to see in the Bible, that he saves us for his own praise and his glory. Look at Isaiah chapter 43. And there are many, many verses in the Bible you can look at. You know, why he saves anybody, why he has forgiven us of our sins. And, you know, we're committed, to speak for myself, multitude of sins. Sins that we can't even remember. In thought, word, and deed. All these are sins. Sins we can't remember, but yet, God, for his own name's sake, has chosen to blot out the sins of his elect. Verse 25 of Isaiah 43. I, even I, am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake. You see why he has forgiven his elect their sins? Is for his own sake. It's not for any good thing in us or any thing that we could do or any work we can do. He says here in verse 25, he says, for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. See, when God has saved us, he has blot out our sin. He wipes it out. All the multitude of sins that that person has committed in his lifetime or ever will commit, God blots them out. He remembers them no more. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so has he forgotten our transgressions. How wonderful that is. And it's for his own sake that why he has done it. For his own sake that he has forgiven any one of us his sins. You know how merciful he is and gracious God is. You see, and when you read through the beautiful psalm in Psalm 103, and you read that psalm, God is telling us how merciful he is. He's being merciful for his own sake. That's not just God needing you or I. He's a creator. He's infinite in his wisdom and might and all these things. And when you read through Psalm 103, you see how merciful God is. And when he blots out, forgive us of our sins, they are gone forevermore. In verse 1 in Psalm 103, we read, Blessed Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And remember, it's for his own sake why he's done it. You see, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases. We know it's not physically, it's spiritual. We have the disease of sin. That's why we need to be healed from. And verse 4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. From destruction, that's what we deserve. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things. So shall thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Jehovah executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Jehovah is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. And those verses are wonderful. Oh, the whole Bible is wonderful. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so Jehovah pitieth them that fear him. And verse 17, but the mercy of Jehovah is from everlasting to everlasting upon him that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children. And you see how, and all this he's doing, showing great mercy and graciousness and all these things for his own name's sake. And we see how he demonstrated it in Christ when Christ came, is for people that he has done that for, his elect. And it's all for his praise and all for his glory. And you see the same idea here too. And we'll turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Here God tells us how, if you start reading from verse 12, you see where verse 12 says, we were buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye were risen with him through the faith and operation. That word is operation could be translated as working, because he's the one that works in us, the working of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. We were made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespass, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And God goes on. So he blots out our sins for his purposes, for his praise, for his great name's sake, that he has done what he has done. And And we don't deserve it at all. And you go back over to Isaiah, another Isaiah 44. He tells us again why he did it. And this is all to his praise and his glory. In verse 21, Isaiah 44, verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for Jehovah has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every green tree therein. For Jehovah hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. See why he has blotted out our sins? Is to glorify himself. It's to bring glory to God that he has saved anyone of us. We don't deserve it. It's to the praise and glory of God why he has saved the people for himself. Nothing that we can ever do or earn. And if you turn over to, God gives us another picture too. In 2 Samuel, everybody knows that King David is a picture of Christ. 2 Samuel chapter 9. King David. Everybody's familiar with that. King David is a picture of Christ himself. And God, and we know that Jonathan had a son. Jonathan and King David is a picture of Christ and his people. You know, they're both so were knit together. How David loved Jonathan. Jonathan's a picture of all the true believers. And David is a picture of Christ. And he had a son. Saul had a son that was lame in his feet. And then as we read through, you're going to see that David now is going to show kindness to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is a picture of us. We're lame spiritually in our feet. And we're going to see where now that Mephibosheth now, David sent for him. And he was seated at the table with David, eating bread. And so are we. When we become saved, we're seated with Christ. And as we're seated with him and spiritual, we eat of him. But 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was at the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Isn't that what God has given to us when we become saved? It is the kindness of God that he has given to us. Here he's been, you know, a very clear picture of Christ. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. It's interesting how he was lame in his feet. If you hold your hand in 2 Samuel and go over to Isaiah 35, we've got to look at this spiritually. And this is what we are before we're saved. We're lame in our feet spiritually. In Isaiah 35, and here God's going to spell it out to us. Remember when Christ would heal the sick, you know, the crippled or so forth? We have to look at it spiritually, you see. In Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1, is a beautiful picture of what salvation is. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. How can a desert rejoice and blossom as a rose? Remember when we were driving the caravan from California. We came through the Arizona desert. Oh, you see a vast wasteland of nothing. No trees, no greenery, nothing. But all you see is tumbleweed, you know, going across the highway. And here, guys, it talks about a desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. In verse 2, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of Jehovah and the excellency of our God. Strengthen he the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Remember, Mephibosheth is lame in his feet. Say to them that are fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap. Remember, Mephibosheth was lame in his feet. Spiritual won't become saved, you know. Spiritual, we're lame in our feet. Leap, and as in heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out. And spiritual, this world is a wilderness, you know, at one point. And the streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool. And the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay, shall the grass shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And in the highway shall be there. And this God just goes on. Here God was speaking about how the gospel was going to go out in all the world, and spiritually many people were going to become saved. And here God was giving us an example of what was going to happen when Christ came. And the gospel went out, and how the gospel was going to go out in a mighty way, and many was going to become saved. And back over into 2 Samuel 9, we see here Mephibosheth was a picture of us before we say, okay, he was lame in both feet. And he goes on in verse 4, and the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto him, the king said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David went and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, who was come unto David, he fell on his face. And this is how we, you know, during the church, even God was saving people, we fall on our face spiritually before God, begging for mercy, you see, and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not. And when the angels came to Christ, when they were announced the birth of Christ, fear not, for in this city is born the Savior of the Christ. And here Christ is saying to us, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake, thy father's sake, and I'll restore all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. You see, when we become saved spiritually, that's what we do. We eat bread with Christ, because Christ is the bread of life, and we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. And verse 8, and here Mephibosheth, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant? And we who were truly saved could say the same thing. Why should God save me? There's no reason. No reason why God should save anyone. And says, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? See how humble he was? He's not even a living dog. He's a dead dog. And that's how we come before God, you know, with no pretenses, no nothing. And even though a dog in the Bible is an unclean animal. And that's what we are before we're saved. And in verse 10, Now therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And at the end part of verse 11, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat bread at my table as one of the king's sons. And that's what we are before when we become saved. We become sons and daughters of Christ, of God himself. And verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat bread, did he eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both of his feet. And there's a lot more in here, but just glancing over it. But you see where this is what we are before we're saved, and God did it for his own glory, for his own purposes. And the true believers will be seated with Christ throughout eternity in a new heaven and new earth. And you see here too that he says he got the land back, which spiritually is the new heaven and new earth. Okay, we're going to stop here and take a short break and wait for Chris to come. And we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together, a time of hymn singing, Bible reading. Oh, Lord, we pray that thy name was glorified in all this. And Father, as we continue to wait for thee, we ask that you will strengthen our hearts, O Lord, and have us to wait, because all thy people want is for thy perfect will to be done. For thy perfect will to be done, not what we want, but what thou want, O Lord. And we thank you for each one of us who are here and those who are listening over the internet. We thank you, O Lord, that you have brought us to the end of another year. O Lord, we look forward that you will guide us, continue to guide us, and open our eyes to truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.